pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
First item that we have on the agenda tonight, as we mentioned in the last meeting, is a presentation from Mr. Thode around coaching procedures and our coaching mentoring program, which we've discussed.
Welcome, Mr. Thode. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Just a couple things before I get into the actual meat. Before I get into the meat of the presentation. This is generally what we hand out to our coaches at coaches' meetings before each season. Board policy, our coaches' handbook, which is quite comprehensive, and a lot of different forms that the students have to hand out or the parents have to sign, and or forms that our coaches have to submit to the athletic office, rosters and such, so that we have all the paperwork and the necessary information that we need. So this is just generally the packet that the coaches get. I know the board has the actual coaching handbook, which is very comprehensive. I do review the whole handbook with the coaches. I'm not going to do that with you tonight because you have it in front of you. Obviously, you can look at it at any time and ask me any questions. But what I would like to do is go over my agenda. Now, the agenda that I use in all of our coaching meetings is really everything that's in the handbook, just kind of simplified. And if you will, before I get into that, I just wanted to kind of review a few things about this past season, the fall season. If you've seen the website or if you've heard, this is the first season since I've been here the last 7 years that we've had all fall teams make the playoffs, which I think is a great accomplishment for our students, our coaches, and our school district. Preliminarily, it looks like we have a very good shot of having all of our fall varsity teams, scholar-athlete teams. That is yet to be determined because the grades have not come out yet, but if I look at them, I know most of them, if not all of them, will be scholar-athlete teams, which again is a great accomplishment for our students and our coaches. We have recently confirmed 4 signings, college signings, a lacrosse player, Maddie Giuliano, a baseball player, Liam Pulsifer, a baseball player, David Franchi. Liam and David have both were part of the state soccer team that just won the championship, and Dan Gross, who is cross-country at Pace. So those are some more accomplishments I think that we should really be proud of. We also just received notice
that... Is that normal, like 4 at this stage, or is that more than we...
We're going to have at least, in my estimation, we're going to have at least 5 more.
What did we have last year?
I would have to check... But not as many as that, I would tell you. I know that we have at least 3 other soccer players that haven't committed yet that will.
What do you do, what the coaches do, and I don't mean to cut you off, I guess I do, but what do the coaches do or you do in connection with helping seniors, juniors, you know, have their skills showcased to colleges? Do we?
Most athletes in school, other than football, are recruited out of private leagues.
Right.
They're not recruited out of college, high school. I know some coaches have when they get called from different colleges, but I have done letters of recommendation. I have had made contacts for coaches. There was a girls soccer player junior this year who was looking at a couple of schools down in Florida. I reached out to both coaches. I got contact with one of them, and the mother is now working with that coach to send a film and do some other things to help.
But like scouting programs from schools generally go to like showcase type events versus
college. Most of the time, colleges don't come to schools because they're in season when we're in season.
Okay.
And there's also rules whether they can be there, times that they can be there, and so forth and so on. But like I said, most athletes are recruited strictly out of their private leagues. Okay. We also, just to note, if you haven't heard, we have just been ranked number 12 in boys soccer in the country in one poll, which is an outstanding accomplishment. I'll say, and I know that Coach O'Brien will say, our varsity boys coaching team, our coach was Coach of the Year. I know Coach O'Brien said to me, and he stated, and I agree, it's the whole coaching staff because they did an outstanding job with our soccer team, obviously. And then Ben Hamilton was MVP of the state finals, which I think is another great accomplishment. As I've said before, Every year, just about between 55 and 65% of our student athletes, 7 to 12, play at least one sport, which is a nice number, obviously. Let's see, and just as an example of that, just we had actually just about 50% of our 7th grade boys try out for basketball this winter. So, you know, it just tells you that the athletics is a major part of our community. And Mr. Slipstein, right? He's been in my office literally every day because he's had to extend tryouts past the normal amount that we use because he's trying to do a great evaluation, and he is. And he's in contact with me constantly. So, and that's just the 7th grade boys. So those are just some highlights I just wanted to focus before I went into the actual agenda. Now, as I said, the coaching handbook that you have in front of you, this is what I brought here 7 years ago. It's what I've been using for 15 years. Obviously, over the 15 years, it revises a little bit. You add some things, you take some things out. But this is a very, very comprehensive document that we use here that I've been using for just about all my career. So that is the Bible, if you will, of the athletic program. So if you don't mind, Board of Education, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually role play with you. You're going to be my coaches today, and I'm going to be having my coaches meeting. And I think it kind of will help the perspective of what we try to do here in the athletic program. So I normally start with introductions. Obviously, when we have the new coach, meeting the coaches who've been around. So we'll go through that process, and then we'll go through the handbook and the forms and everything that you have, or everything in this red binder. And then I'll get into the nuts and bolts of it. So we talk about our athletic goals. Our athletic goals, coaches, is always develop student athletes. We don't want just athletes. We want students that are well-rounded, good citizens, doing their academics, being successful in every realm that they can be. We want a positive experience. We want all of our athletes to have a positive experience. Now, what does that mean? That's different for every child. There are some children that are used to being the star. They're going to play a lot. They're going to succeed. They're going to score goals and all that type of stuff. There are some kids who just want to wear a jersey. They want to be part of a team. And we want that positive experience, whatever it is, for each individual child, which is very difficult for any of you who have taught or coached. You have 30 kids on a team or 30 kids, students in a classroom, different learning styles, different personalities, different backgrounds, different upbringings, different challenges. It's quite an interesting dynamic that we have to account for. We want participation and playing time. Now, participation and playing time for you coaches, when you're talking about the middle school and JV level, it's about trying to get expose them. It's about trying to get them experience. It's about trying to get them to learn the game and so forth. So we want somewhat equitable playing time as you go through those programs, those levels. As we get to varsity, it becomes a little bit more competitive. And at that point, it really is the best of the best are playing. But, and I stress this with the coaches, or with you, I stress that there's always an opportunity to get students on the varsity who may not play all the time a chance. Whether we're winning by a lot or we're losing by a lot, you get the opportunities for those children to get some playing time. They're there practicing every day. They're there working as hard as everybody else. We should try to find those opportunities at the varsity level when we can. Obviously, when kids are not in school, not coming to practice, injured, returning from injury, all types of things like that, obviously playing time will be modified for different reasons. We want to educate. For example, hazing, substance abuse, and prevention. We want to talk. As coaches, the great thing in my experience and your experience as coaches and athletes is most kids are coming out to your team to play because they enjoy the sport. Okay? Not every kid wants to be in math class. Not every kid wants to be in Spanish class. But pretty much everybody who's coming out for that team wants to be on that team. So you have an opportunity as a coach, as a mentor, to talk to them about important things like substance abuse, like taking care of themselves, like health, fitness, and things like that. You have a captive audience, and we're going to use that in our athletic program. Creating citizens and leaders, focusing on all the things that we want. As parents, we want our children to be and do. We want you to enforce that as coaches as well. Build and sustain positive reputation for yourself, for your team, for your kids, for our school, for the district. In every realm, as a coach, when you're out there, we want you to build a positive reputation. Community relations, we want you to interact with parents, with the booster club, with the youth programs when applicable. We want you as much as possible out there doing things that are going to help the community and create relations. Minimize the team cuts on athletics. Now, a great thing about being in a small school like Center Riches, as you know, we don't do many cuts. There are very rare times where we are cutting. Sometimes kids do not make the varsity. They go to JV. Sometimes, if we do have big numbers, I ask all coaches, I ask all of you to try to push students that may not make your team to another program. So if you tried out for soccer and you didn't make the team, you know what? Let's see if they would play volleyball. Let's see if they'll play cross country. So we want to push them to other programs. And generally, as you know, every year, coaches, I try to tell you ahead of time where the numbers are a little lower, where we need some more participation, so that you know you can direct those students there when the opportunity arises. When we have future budget concerns, I want you to obviously keep in contact. The varsity head coach is in charge of the budget for that sport. So I want the varsity head coach to work with the JV coach and the middle school coach to make sure all levels have what they need moving forward in the next budget cycle. Moving on, we're going to talk about our department expectations. The fundamental development is the most important thing. We want to work on fundamentals. It doesn't matter if you're in varsity. If you can have all the X's and O's you want. You can have all the plays that you want. If the kids cannot catch and throw, if the kids cannot hit, they're not going to be successful. Fundamental development, no matter what the level, middle school, JV, and varsity, is paramount. If you don't continually work on those things, the students will not be successful. We also want to work on their athleticism and their fitness, key components to them being successful. We also, our expectation is program development. Again, when youth leagues are available, we want to utilize the youth leagues. We want to get involved with them. We want our kids to volunteer on those levels and work with those kids and those coaches, those parent volunteers, and we want that development to work from the middle school all the way up to the varsity. So the varsity coach should have some type of communication, should be working with the lower level coaches and youth leads when possible, so that we are building a program from the bottom up. We also want to focus on sportsmanship and character education. Again, you have a captive audience. You are the leader as the coach of making sure that we're following sportsmanship expectations and infusing character education, how we treat each other, how we interact, how we're on the bus, how we are when we're in an opposing school, those types of things. Safety is paramount. Safety of all concerns. Make sure our facility is safe. Make sure our equipment is safe. Make sure our students are safe. Make sure they're acting safely in all realms. That is also key. Athletic program, promotion program, which used to be the selection classification process. As you know from the handbook, it explains in depth what the process is. I want you to follow that process as best possible. As you all know, as coaches, I do the fitness testing for the athletes so that they can move up. Once they have that opportunity, they've passed the fitness test and they've completed the paperwork, they have the opportunity to try out. We want them to try out. If they fit on that team, if they're going to be a successful player on that team, if they're going to be an impact person on that team, that's what we want to happen. Okay. With that being said, it's not an exact science. We realize that students sometimes try out. They have a great tryout, the season goes along. At that point, maybe some of those older kids, so you got a 7th or 8th grader on your team, some of those kids are, just kind of falling back, and the stronger, older, more mature kids are kind of going up. We have to monitor that at all times.
What's the goal there on the athletic promotion program? Is the goal, when do you, at that tryout, determine must a kid be a starter?
Well, so here's the dynamic, and there's a lot of holes in the state process. We have to decide in most sports whether we're going to take a 7th or 8th grader up within 3 days, three practices. So at that point, 3 days finishes, the end of the third day, I go back to all the coaches. Did he make or she make the team? Yes. Okay? They made the team. Once that third day is over, you can no longer go down to the middle school. You cannot go back 2 weeks later and say, oh, I want to play middle school. This is way too much for me. We are stuck. That is a New York State rule. Now, the good thing is...
My question is, make the team means what? Are we, if you're a soccer player or a baseball player, are you looking, is this eighth grader you know, good enough to play varsity or good enough to be on the team? Like, what's that determining factor?
The ideal situation is, and it's again, there's so many different machinations to this, but the ideal situation is this person is a starter impact player. I'll give you an example.
Varsity or JV or whichever.
Well, in our district, the Board of Education, I don't know. The policy is that any 7th or 8th grader, if they pass the process, can go up and play either JV or varsity. Okay. That's your policy that I have to enforce. Once they pass the process, now they get to try out. They only get to try out after they've done the fitness test and the paperwork, and I've cleared them. Okay. Now they try out.
Can you stop 1 second?
Sure.
How does it all start, though? Like, kid wants to be classified, coach wants the kid to be classified. What is the first step before they even test it? Or
the state expectations are actually that the student, the coach, or the parent can initiate it.
That's the state says that?
Correct. So it could be any of the three.
And then when you do your assessment, it's to determine if the person is physically fit?
There's a fitness test that the state requires.
Yes. Olivia
has. Mrs. Dench's daughter is a great example. She took that fitness test and blew it out of the water for her age. It's based on your age, and there's scores. There's 5 different tests. You have to pass 4 out of the 5 fitness tests in order to try out. Not to make the team, to try out for the team. And then there's some other paperwork, you know, medical paperwork and a parent permission form and that kind of thing, which is all just, you know, checking the box types of things.
So anybody can do it. Anybody can initiate it.
Correct.
You then determine if the person is physically fit. Nothing to do with the skill level of the sport.
Nope. Correct.
Okay. Got it.
Then they try out. Then within 3 days, the coach has to determine, are they on JV or are they on varsity? Now, the great thing about that, because it's changed since the old process of the state, is the child can be on the varsity, the child can be on the JV, and or they can move up and down. So if I'm on the varsity and I'm as a coach, I try this kid out and they make varsity because they had a great tryout, and then halfway in the season they're just not, because again, varsity, I always say this very carefully, the goal is to win, but it's not win at all costs. Okay, we want to be successful, we want to win the championship, we want to go on to the states, we want to go to the playoffs, we want to win it all. So that is the goal within the realm of doing it the right way, not at all costs. So halfway through the season, one of these eighth graders is playing or, you know, kind of getting their feet wet, and then halfway this season, you know, things are getting more competitive, we're playing tougher teams, and now the kid is not playing as much. Now, we have an option there. Obviously, we can keep them on varsity because they've already made varsity, or we can move them down to JV, or we can move them back and forth, which we've done in the past, based on, you know, the...
So the definition of impact player, when that coach decides, right, after the 3 days of seeing somebody, they decide, is this person going to be an impact player at the JV or varsity level? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Is it not a starter, but someone that... how do you interpret that?
Well, ideally, it is a starter... impact player, ideally. In some see, it's very odd because let's say you're talking about right now we have winter track. Okay, winter track, everybody participates, so you don't have to make that determination. It's just they run and they get times and they jump, you know, over hurdles and they do, you know, laps or whatever else. Cross country is another one. So some sports, as long as you're competing, you're involved. In team sports, it becomes a little bit more dicey as far as how that process works throughout the season.
Is that explained to the parents about the impact player of the 8th graders that are moving up? Because I didn't get that explanation. I mean, Olivia got to play, but it wasn't explained.
But I spoke to you about that, yes?
No.
When we met in the gym?
Well, I wasn't there. My husband was there.
Okay, so I spoke to... When I meet with the kids, and usually the parents come, especially the fall, it's very... Because a lot of times the kids that are approved in the fall go to the winter. You know, some of those kids will play again. Like, we have cross-country kids who are now doing winter track. So it's the same kids in this, like, the athletic placement process. But when the parents come to me when I test them, usually in the summer, I explain to them the process of, you know, for example, like, if we cut... on a JV team, we cannot take a 7th or 8th grader. We cannot cut a 9th or a 10th grader. So I explain those types of dynamics, you know.
Yeah, but like when Olivia went up to, because we weren't notified. Like, she found out she made varsity before mm-hmm. we did.
Yeah.
When they go out together, if you don't know, JV and varsity soccer goes out together.
At the end of the whole process,
you get a note saying whether or not you made JV or varsity without the parents knowing. So that's kind of how that goes, that process. And
but you're being classified when you see
as a, so on like, that level, yes.
As a JV or varsity. That's the determination.
Once you made the team, you've made the high school
yes.
team.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what placement.
Yes, but when she selected,
mm-hmm.
and we weren't notified, but then we got notified afterwards through mm-hmm. her, obviously. But we weren't told about the impact player process, like part of it.
Okay.
So that's just one thing that I would suggest that maybe you should explain to everybody throughout the process, mm-hmm. meaning, you know, when they do the test.
I explain the things as such as if we have cuts, we do not do that. I talk about the social-emotional piece of it, meaning
yeah.
are you comfortable with your child as a 7th or 8th grader possibly being on the bus with 16, 17, 18-year-olds?
Who makes that decision? Like, is that a decision that the parents make?
That's a parent decision.
Emotional?
That's a conversation I have with the parents when we go through the process. Because that's... Some parents... I've had parents who are just like, I don't care, I just want my kid on the high school team. I want them competing. I've had parents that say, oh, you know what? I think you're right. I'm going to not let my kid try out.
But even if a parent pushes, do we have the kid on the team if they're not an impact player? Meaning, like, if a parent comes and pushes, I want my kid on the team,
mm-hmm.
and they physically fit, but they're not an impact player, what is that?
Well, ideally, initially, that's what they think is going to happen, meaning, you know, I'm trying you out, you look really good, I'm going to take you on varsity. Now, all of a sudden, like I said, the season unfolds, and it doesn't necessarily work out that way. Now, we're kind of stuck in regards of, all right, do we move the kid down? There have been times where halfway through the season, not the middle school, but there have been times in the season where we move them from varsity because the child said, you know what, I'm not playing as much as I would like to, or the parent says it, and we move them down to JV. There are other times the child says, I don't want to go down to JV. I'd rather stay on varsity and practice with the stronger kids and do that type of thing. So every situation is a little bit different.
Got it.
And it's you know, there's all kinds of different types of things that you have to look at. But good point. So moving on. Now we talk about expectations for coaches, and I don't want to belabor this unless you want me to, but you know, we talk about their coaching credentials, make sure that they have their first aid, their CPR, their concussion, all that type of stuff has to be submitted to my office. We talk about proper and comprehensive evaluations, whether there's cuts and or whether there's you know, playing time and that type of stuff. We talk about deadlines of our paperwork that's in the book. We talk about the guidelines and policies and procedures, the code of the pledge that the students have to abide by. We talk about injury and safety procedures and protocols, coaches' injuries, you know, injuries and illnesses for kids. We talk about immediate and detailed communication. Now, as a Board of Education, and I know I'm going in and out of treating you as coaches and treating you as Board of Education, but it's very important that the communication piece is always open to coaches. I always use the analogy, if something doesn't feel right in your belly, you got to let me know, whether it's with another coach, whether it's with an athlete, whether it's with a parent or whatever else. That communication has to get to me right away so that I can evaluate what's going on, have a phone conversation, have a meeting or whatever else. So we talk about that. We talk about coaching at all times, making sure that they have their physicals, obviously, before they start the season. The academic piece, which is what we'll be dealing with in the next couple of weeks when I get the academic report out to them, who's eligible, who's not, who's on probation, who's not, and so forth and so on. Talk about all the meetings that they're supposed to go to. And then we talk about, and this is a big one, we talk about students, contact with students, meaning electronic contact. Obviously, we're in the world of social media, text messaging. Now, when I first started this and text messaging first started coming out, I was very, very clear that I didn't want text messaging to happen between students and athletes, teachers, coaches, and athletes because of certain dangers and so forth. Now we're in a world where it's vastly different over the last several years. There are a lot of apps out there, as you all are aware, like Remind Me, Team Snap,
Group Me,
and so forth. Now, I tell the coaches very specifically with this, especially when we're talking about text messages. I no longer have a problem with text messages, but I tell coaches very, very importantly, make sure it is team, appropriate, practice cancellations, things like that. I also tell them to save and or screenshot anything that they find could be or might be inappropriate and share it with me, meaning that if a student sends something or so forth and so on. Now, the reason I've kind of loosened my reins on text messaging is very, very, very simple. Our world, meaning us as adults, is very different from the students in our schools and our kids that are of the high school and middle school age. They are more comfortable on social media and electronically. Students are much more apt, and it has happened, they're much more apt to communicate with us issues via text message privately when there's a concern. In fact, this year we had two incidents where a child has reached out to a coach via text message with a safety-related concern for either the child or in their life that we were able to intervene, get help for, and so forth and so on. That is the world that, as all of us as parents that have the older kids, that is the world they live in. We may not totally understand it. We may not totally agree with it, but that is their world. So I don't like cutting that communication off because sitting and doing a lot of the discipline at the high school, kids are not comfortable always talking or always telling the truth face-to-face. But they tend, behind that screen, to be a little bit more honest and be a little bit more upfront. So again, that's why I just reiterate things like making sure you copy and share or whatever else. And we have to do a lot of things confidentially. We have to take care of some of these problems confidentially. But
is there a way to do it in a platform, you mean, such that it's recorded? I mean, both for the coaches' safety and the kids, but people do weird stuff in text. Mm-hmm. You know, they do. For some reason, they're more comfortable. I mean, yep. You've seen coaches, mm-hmm. do, not here, but do things and get fired for them. It would be really nice, I think, maybe I'm showing my age, to see something that is completely recorded so that if somebody made a claim, one way or the other, we could say, let's go back to the videotape and, you know.
Well, and again, this is, again, Let me give you a different reference. As I'm sure some of you know, I don't know how many in the public, but I'm the president of the board at Smith Town Schools. Okay, we have a $240 million budget. We have 730 teachers. We have 198 teams, 238 coaches or coaching positions. This is the same conversation we're having in Smith Town.
What do you guys do?
We do everything. We do Remind, we do all these different things. I'm going to give you a new format or app that I just was introduced to last week that I'm going to probably lean on Eric to...
It's got to be something. I mean, that we can just not have that concern. And frankly, it's not just coaches. Teachers correspond with some kids via text. We don't.
It's not a sport thing. And again, a lot of these issues are not sport things. They're school things. And we have to keep that in mind.
Right?
But again,
we say it all the time. We own every single thing that you send on here, and it's not deleted. You don't have that ability because we don't give the teachers their phones and the coaches their phones. It's a different, you know.
But again, and this is, I truly believe this, all these apps are wonderful for the reasons that they've been created, but the fact that we've been able to save two kids here from either making very bad decisions from a simple text, mm-hmm. Is important also. So that's why all I can tell the coaches is make sure you save it, make sure you have that detailed and immediate communication to me so that I can get it to whether it's our social worker, our school psychologist, obviously our superintendent, and so forth and so on. So,
and I appreciate your size of the school, but the difference between Smithtown, though, Jeremy, to be quite honest, is, you know, this is a small community. You know, I mean, I coach a team. I'm involved coaching a team of 7th and 8th graders here in basketball and soccer. We have paraprofessionals that are involved. We're involved with these kids quite a bit. We have to make a lot of decisions. You know, you're leaving school with your son and daughter, and the next-door neighbor asks for a ride. Well, you're doing it as a parent because that's your, you know, the next-door neighbor. You're doing it as a teacher. You know, it becomes very difficult, and I found it out very quickly here, even with what people call you, you know, coach versus Mr. So-and-so. But it's much more difficult, I think, here than maybe a larger. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but
it's difficult everywhere. It really is. But there is a dynamic here that is different because we have a lot of coaches and teachers that are in the community. You know, that their sons or daughters are, you know, on teams or on their teams and so forth and so on. They have neighbors, they live next door. And that's true in Smithtown and every other community. There's a lot of coaches and teachers that live in the community, and it's the same dynamic. But that's why I just stress keeping, you know.
You can't private message on your mind. And you can make whoever is the administrator, you can have a couple of coaches as your administrator, and then if a student wants to opt into that remind, they can private message and go back and forth, and it's not going to the whole group.
And a lot of the options,
because I use it for my Girl Scout troop, but I use it for Boy Scouts. And that's how we do it.
To dovetail off of what you said, I've coached my daughter's private team for 7 years. When the girls got old enough to, you know, have their own phones and whatever else, I reached out to every parent. I said, I'm going to start a group message, you know, group text with the whole team. I want your permission. If you want me to copy and paste everything that I send to your daughter or whatever else, you know, I will. Nobody took me up on it because they're, you know, they over time they trust who I am. They know what I'm about. They're you know, they, that type of thing. But you know, you have Snapchat. You know, Snapchat is, you know, disappears in whatever it is, 12 seconds, 8 seconds, whatever else, which is great. But you can screenshot it. Now, kids say, well, if you screenshot it, it tells me that you screenshot it. Well, that doesn't matter. You still screenshot it. And now, which many of you, if you have ever come to my social media presentation, there are third party apps that allow you to screenshot Snapchat without anybody knowing it. So you can do that. Now, again, I'll go back into it.
I get it all. I just think that to protect the kid and the coach, because there are crazy people on both sides, we should really evaluate whether we can mandate that all communication be via a platform, even if it's private in that platform, that is recorded such that if there is an accusation one way or the other, we can go back and say, listen, here's what was really said. We've got the communication.
Now I'm going to put on my
board. I'm going to do a Snapchat with this person. Now you've got a huge violation because they've gone off the platform.
Okay, so now I'm going to put on my board hat because we're having the same conversation. The Board of Education can create their own social media policy that dictates that.
I'm asking you as an expert in this area with coaches, is there other than what you said, well, we can help a kid, which Danielle had a good point, you could do PM. Is there a downside to that? I mean, I just think...
The only thing I will say, and I don't know this to be fact, so this is just my opinion, is will a child in need, which two we've had, and I've had others in other aspects of my life, kids, you know, whether it's my daughter's team or whatever else, will they go on Remind to send me that message? I don't know the answer to that question.
Listen, nobody knows.
I don't know the answer.
Nobody does.
You know, all I can tell you is it happened twice here on regular text message, and that saved potentially... You know, something on the front page.
I think we should talk about it more. I mean, I agree.
Your presentation. It's an ongoing. So let me just show you this real quick, and because I don't want to.
It's frozen. Have to move?
I don't know. If you want to. So this is Sports U. The representative came. I just threw up some pictures because I just literally got this last week. This is Sports U. It's really just like Facebook. It's a free. It's a free app. This is pulled up on the computer. You can pull it up on your phone. It's on my phone. It's totally set up like Facebook, and I don't even know all of it yet. So bear with me as I go through it. So here's my profile page. Here's a picture I put up in my cover image. Here is my news feed. You know, what are you up to? Just like Facebook, and I got a picture of Ben Hamilton up there. Then you have the ability to chat. Now what happens is there's a code 6372ZBD. Anybody who I want to join my page has to input that code and they become my friends, okay? Every communication is kept, okay? So I can chat with the whole team. I can chat with a few different kids. See here, I go here. I can write my message and I can search by name. I can add or remove recipients. So that's the chat piece. There's a calendar. If you see the calendar, here's my presentation today, and down here is our 7 p.m. parent meeting on the 27th for winter sports. I just threw those in
today. So is the point that every athlete and every parent would have the ability to have this thing?
Well, no. So this is my page as the athletic director. Now, what I did over here is I created some winter teams. So now I can assign my coach to their page, the winter track page. This would be their page. And now I am an administrator and the coach, which would be Bob Dietz. He would be an administrator, so I would have access to it. He would have access to it. He can invite his whole team there, the parents there. He can post pictures. He can say what's up. He can do his calendar. He can put media and so forth and so on. So each team is put there. I could add middle school, which I will, so Mr. Slifstein can pilot this for me. I can do groups and friends.
Obviously,
like I said,
it's an app too. You don't have to.
It's an app, and it's on a computer. Yes. So that's just that was literally last week. He has actually gone through to all the coaches in the coaches' meeting, so some of the coaches might have already seen him. But that is it's out of Jericho.
You've gone through all the things that you teach in the handbook. Do we, though, like you know, when a teacher goes through school, they learn how to teach, and then we have them student teach so that they can model, you know, what a real teacher does, who's done it. Do we have any kind of mentor program, or do they walk? Like, if I walked out,
you didn't get to it.
I think it was done.
No, I said I'll try to go as fast as I can, but this is...
All right, keep going.
Okay, so moving on to the next page, we talk about requirements, and I can buzz through this. We have our athletic code night that the coaches need to go to, and obviously it's meet the coach night, so they talk to their parents and their athletes. We talk about supervision of the locker room and the team. We talk about correspondence being authorized and approved, meaning anything that the coaches send out, to the parents or to the students, they need to send it to me so I can review it to make sure it's, you know, complies with our rules about policies that, you know, I check in, all that type of stuff. We talk about the Booster Club and being an assistant, having the kids volunteer to help the Booster Club because they're very, very critical to us and very, very good to us. We talk about the coaches being role models in their attire, their language, their behavior, their treatment, and so forth. Practice requirements and plans. So that kind of adds to what you just asked there, Josh. I tell coaches that you should have a practice plan, just like a lesson plan, and you should not coach, you know, off the spur of the moment type of thing. We talk about facility and equipment safety, AED procedures, what the trainer does, where all the AEDs are, and so forth and so on. We talk about transfers come in because there could be eligibility issues. We talk about asthma and injuries. We talk about how sometimes parents, unfortunately, and or students are embarrassed by an allergy or a condition that a child may have, and they may not even report that to the nurse. And you need to, as a parent, make sure you, as a coach, you need to talk to the athletes, talk to the parents about, you know, is there anything I need to know about your child? Because sometimes they don't tell you. And now you're dealing with trying to coach or supervise a child that has something that the school isn't even aware of. So these are things we really try to continually look at. We talk about the player status, tryouts, playing time, cuts, placement, all those types of things that I already kind of went over before. Transportation procedures and protocols and safeties. Coaching professionalism and accommodations of other teams, other coaches, other referees. Treatment of athletes, parents, opponents, officials, and staff, all self-explanatory. We talk about disciplining of athletes. And I tell coaches, listen, you know, there's one thing if you're going to make a child run because they're, you know, doing something in practice, whatever else, but they're not allowed to throw a kid off a team without going through me because we have to go by the pledge and the code of conduct and, you know, you can't kind of do your own thing and that type of stuff. We talk about purchasing and reimbursement procedures. You see highlighted, it's not permitted. You can't buy anything and then ask me, can the school pay you back? We talk about game, contest, field, bus changes and things like that, game day protocol. We talk about rating cards. At the end of every game, our coaches have to rate the opponent and our officials, and our opponents have to do the same about us and the officials. That's through Section 11. Talk about their college recruitment process. We talk about college
business. We get those ratings from Section 11?
Yes.
I
don't get them daily.
No, but at the end of the season, do we get the ratings from the other coaches for us?
Yes, we get what we're rated.
Right.
And in fact, we get...
What are the factors that they rate?
It's the other team, it's the other facility, it's the coaching. Is this four or five?
Well, you host.
Yeah.
You know, sportsmanship.
And then a certain team in that league, each league, if I'm not mistaken, because I think I do send this to the board, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we win them.
No, but there's a team that wins in each, right? Your JV, you know, basketball in Suffolk County or in the particular league, one team's the winner, right?
Yeah.
With the best sportsmanship ratings.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we win those, you know.
I'll keep sending those to you.
We talk about emergency plans, which I think Mr. Caswell will appreciate. I talk to them about emergency plans. Now, here's the great thing about you know, this piece of it is we do all this stuff during the school day to protect our students, you know, all the protocols and the, security and so forth. But after school, The fields are open. We have 200 kids on the field. So I talk to the coaches about whether you're home or whether you're away, know where to go. Know where you can get out. I tell them if there's a commotion at a game, I don't care if you get the team on the bus in the middle of the game and leave. I'd rather you do that than put our kids in danger or there would be a safety problem. We'll figure out the game afterwards. But those are things that we talk about
as well. The coaches, I got to tell you, we had one last year, if you remember, who stopped the bus right in the middle of the Long Island Expressway. And it was uncomfortable. And I really appreciate that because I think that coach took it to heart and did the right thing for the players, even though it must have been awkward at that time. You know, it's a perfect example.
We talk about bona fide students with physicals can participate. We talk about academic probation lists and so forth, knowing your sport rules. Lastly, pertinent information, team rules, meaning any additional rules you have as a coach, coaching absences, website additions, needs and exposures. I want them to get as much stuff into the district news, which we have a lot of coaches who give Mr. Soto different pictures and things like that. We talk about resources that they need or might want to share. Coach Lednitsky recently sent me some things on bullying that I shared with the staff, the entire staff, not just the coaching staff. We talk about booster club expectations, out-of-school season policies and concerns, facility personnel relationships, player exit meetings, social networking. I talk to them about them talking to their athletes about posting things. Over the course of my 7 years here, we've had a couple of incidents where a kid at a game away took a picture of another kid from another team and posted something on Twitter or Instagram that was derogatory or whatever else. So we talk to them about trying to oversee that and get into the heads of the kids about being responsible in that. We talk about budget concerns. We talk about MSG Varsity and Verizon when we have games that are on TV. Concussion policy, use of facilities, end of the season awards, ceremonies, and dinners. We talk about leaderships and captains. And I stress to them, your captains don't always have to be and shouldn't always necessarily be your captains. And we talk about how we need to teach them how to be leaders. We cannot just assume just because they're the best player or they're the most outspoken or whatever else, I want you to work with them to teach them how to be leaders. I always use the example, and I've always done this as a coach, where my captains, whoever they were the ones that carried the water in the balls. Because if my captains are carrying the water in the balls, then everybody else will say, hey, the kids that are the captains or the leaders are doing the grunt work. And that's just a great way. Also, it happens to be one of the strategies to avoid hazing types of things from kind of snowballing, which was something that happened in my career. It was a highlight happened earlier in my career where the hazing thing was a big issue. Talk about Sunken Meadow for the cross country, volunteer coaches and what that means and what the requirements are, academic eligibility, uniform checks, indoor scheduling, max number of contests, gate locks and security, new level of expectation of what we're trying to do as an athletic program. Then I go into new coach orientation. So this is anybody who is new or fairly new. Now, to answer your question, Josh, about mentoring and how we handle those types of things, I always try to match up a new coach with an existing coach who's had some experience. Now, I'll give Eric as a perfect example. We have Sonny Segudo, who most of you may know in the community. He's doing the basketball with Eric. Eric is the perfect mentor. So he teaches them the paperwork. He teaches them the ins and outs. They collaborate on tryouts and playing time, and they try to follow the same programs. As you all know, because you approved her, Sue Wicks is our new JV girls basketball coach. Sue Wicks, who's being mentored by Rich Roberts. Now, no offense to Mr. Roberts, but I think Sue Wicks knows a little bit more about basketball than Rich Roberts, but that's just my guess. But we still want them to – it's a different animal when you're talking about school ball. School ball is very different than private, where you pay to play or pay to be trained or pay to be whatever. As a parent, it's a different environment that we're trying to create where any child can be part of a team, have a positive experience. So these are some of the topics I talk about with my new coaches, usually after. And I do have individual meetings with the new coaches, and whether it's through the interview process, whether it's before the season, and I do check on them as things are going. But it's the best way to do it, I text message all my coaches. So we're in constant contact on different issues. They're very, very comfortable reaching out to me if there's something going on, or if I need to check on something, or I need to check on a number, or check on a kid, or so forth and so on. So, but we do talk about with the new coaches making it a positive impression, handling everyday concerns, the playing time issue, which tends to be usually the biggest complaint, if anything, on a regular basis. We talk about the role of the athletic program assistant and the athletic secretary, mentor assignment, which is not an official thing. I just said, like I said to Sue last week, you know, Rich will bring you through the process, because as I went through this whole book with Sue, who couldn't make, here's just another example. I had my coaches meeting last week, and Sue texted me and said, I can't make it. I'm supposed to get an award tonight. Isaiah Thomas was going to accept it on my behalf, but he had a family emergency, so I had to go, so I can't make the coaches meeting. I said, that's a good excuse. I'll give it to you. So I met with her privately, and we went through the whole book and all the papers and all that type of stuff. So I'm very close with Sue, so we have a good time joking. And then just talk about general communication, and then I go through a process of communication. Another new coach that we have for the winter is Nikki Schettino, who's our new cheerleading coach. Irene Navas needed to step away for some personal and professional reasons. So Irene, although she's no longer an official coach, is mentoring Nikki, because cheerleading is its own animal as far as the rules and expectations that I do not have an expertise in. So
how do they evaluate that? You've talked them all this. You've paired new coaches with mentors. You check in during the year with them. At the end of the year, do you have a scorecard to evaluate?
Yeah, no, we do evaluations.
Yeah.
We do evaluations at the end of the year. Usually I do them. And the reason we've always done, or I've always done them, and unless you want me to change it, I do it at the end of the year, because most sports, with the exception of really middle school and some JV, most sports, even though they're a school, are still year-round. The coaches have responsibilities from the fall, in the winter, and in the spring. You know, we have our end of the year award ceremonies in the spring and so forth. So I usually wait to the end of the whole year to evaluate all the coaches, and then they go obviously in their personnel files and all that kind of stuff.
I think we discussed that we want to have an opportunity to see those when you're recommending coaches early enough. You know, see the evaluation and have that discussion with you, obviously, the executive.
Okay, so like I said, the end of this school year, evaluations are done for the fall, winter, and spring, which is usually the beginning of June, mid-June, depending on that, because we're also doing teacher evaluations.
You do evaluations in June for what happened over the last 12 months.
Next June.
Yeah, right. In coming June, you'll do what happened over the last
fall, winter, and spring.
And then beginning over the summer, we will get in our...
Then what we do is at the same time... We are posting at the end of this, really at the beginning of June.
Right.
I'm starting the evaluation process. Although I have notes and I have different things that I've noted, you know, whatever else, I actually officially do them then. The principals sign off on them with me.
Right.
And then at the same time, we are posting for all the coaching positions for the following year. And then before the summer starts, I put my recommendations to Mr. Stewart of all the fall sports. Mm-hmm. And then when the fall season starts, that's when I do the winter.
June or July?
June. In July, you need them to start working.
No, I need them. You can't go into the summer.
So we would want to see, then I would think that the fall evaluations mm-hmm. are done before that. So if we're appointing a fall sport coach in June, I would want to see the evaluation from the prior fall before that.
In the beginning of June, I do them.
Okay.
Or end of May, or beginning of June.
Yep.
I can usually do the fall ones sooner than I can do the spring ones, but I usually do it the end of May, early June.
Yeah.
And then before mid-June, they're done. You could see them, and then we usually appoint at the last meeting in June for fall.
Okay.
Any questions?
Great job. Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. I appreciate the time. Next section on the agenda tonight, questions or comments regarding tonight's agenda only. Do you have any questions regarding tonight's agenda?
Yes. Some questions about security.
Yeah.
I'd like to...
So I'm just going to, for the record, we're recording, so if you don't mind, it's Rob May. You can come up. We have on here a general discussion of security, and you can ask a question, but we may not have an answer, and I'm going to explain to you why. So we put on here that we want to discuss security, and if you've been at meetings in the past year, we've had these discussions in the past. We had an external consultant come in to give us an assessment of our facility from a security perspective,
And over the years, over the last year at least, maybe a little bit longer, we've taken some of those considerations into play. You see the vestibule, the elementary, the vestibule of the high school. We've had some concerns given the recent shootings, and we want to reevaluate that. There were a number of things that they suggested that we've not implemented. We've got some suggestions around a variety of other things, like, you know, do we have police here? Do police carry guns? Do we have security? Do security carry guns? What's done elsewhere? So we're going to talk about all that in exec. We're doing it in exec because, you know, like anything else, there are recommendations that have been made that we have not implemented or we can't. Some that we will. So we don't want to necessarily say, here are the weaknesses. So you can ask whatever you want. And the reason we put it here is so that I can basically say what I'm gonna say, what I just said. But I may not be able to answer. You know, if you've got a specific question.
Well, first off, I'd like to thank the board for, you know, the thankless job that you guys do, volunteering and doing everything. The administration, obviously, all the wonderful things you do with the kids, Jeremy, with sports as well. And just to piggyback off of what Jeremy said about texting, we do live in a new world, okay? And I'm not here to, you know, start beating drums and stuff like that. But however, the new reality is the terroristic world that we live in, okay? I'm glad to see about those vestibules, Josh, and I didn't know that this was actually on the forefront. I happened to see it pop up. So, you know, I do see we don't have any perimeter fencing at the school. I think that's a big issue. I work for the town of Brookhaven. We've beefed it up there where now, you know, there's guns, there's different doors, there's, you know, multiple things. Not kids involved, obviously, but it's mostly adults, general public, kind of like an airport in a way. But our school, I see security. They are present. I have spoken to a lot of them. I do see that they're retired police officers. I think you even have one active, possibly. Unfortunately, in this day, you know, we live in a world of sick people. And I'm going to keep it real short. I'm not going to get too far into it. I will tell you that I have many friends. I have two friends that are FBI agents. I have a family member who's a DEA agent. They're very privy to stuff in high levels of government. And what a school is a soft target. Okay? And we've seen it. Like Josh referenced, I can give you reference all the way back to Columbine, a sick kid. Okay? But the realism is we have terrorists living here in our country. And a soft target like that, they can just go in at will. So I would like for the board to really consider definitely perimeter fencing. The vestibules are great. However, there's big windows next to them. I don't know if they were something that's shatterproof or something like that. You know, things that are easily accessible to be addressed. Camera system, somebody sitting watching surveillance. Around the school, we have that big open area. There's multiple roads that anybody can come in. They can come in from the town facility. You know, there's a car that sits out front. I know we have at least one or two other cars I've seen. I don't know if we got rid of that one that was beat up. But, you know, the back of the school is such an easy target. So, you know, I don't know all the security measures. I do see a presence, okay? And I think the guys did do a great job. I think, you know, I look at Sachem West. They have a booth right there that's right across from Town Hall. Those cars are all pretty much stopped when they're coming in. Or their eyes in there. And these security guards, and a lot of them are our residents, are very familiar with who the regulars are. And they'll be able to see when somebody's not a regular. As far as guns, you know, it's almost, in this day and age, unfortunately, a necessary evil. And nobody wants guns in school. I get it. But however you get these crazy people that just come in to a defenseless target, you got nothing to defend with. Cops are going to take 20 minutes to get there. Even if one or two lives are saved, because these officers, who I believe, again, most of them are retired, PD, or even active, have done this all their life. And I'm not saying open carry. I'm saying concealed carry. So I just like to put it on your radar. I'm glad you're doing a lot of the stuff that you are doing, you know. And I think we need to tighten it up even further with this new day and age.
I appreciate it. I mean, safety is the number one thing. Without that, you know, all we're trying to do with sports programs, all we're trying to do with the educational programs is irrelevant, you know. And it's unfortunate. I mean, to even have to have this conversation is crazy in my view. So we're going to talk about it in exec, obviously, to kind of point out where our concerns are in a public meeting that's recorded is probably not the best idea. So,
and I understand the process, and I get it. I work for the municipality, so
I'd like to put it on the radar.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions on items on the agenda tonight? Motion to adopt the minutes of the regular meeting of November 1, 2017. Second. All in favor? Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following resignation.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee to return to service.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education rescinds the following action previously adopted on July 11, 2017.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2017-2018 school year as follows.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointments for the 2017-2018 school year.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract as well as have established cost contained in said contracts and authorized the president to sign the said contracts.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the budget transfers.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Board of Education has appointed an independent claims auditor to review bills and authorize the processing of payments during the period between Board of Education meetings. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the report by the independent claims auditor for the month of October 2017 and authorizes payment of the monthly bills listed on warrants for the month of October 2017 as audited by the independent claims auditor as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Hey, Carol, I'm not. My exhibit five, mm-hmm. I think, is the CPSC.
It was changed.
I don't have that.
The change order?
That's what I'm looking for.
I have it.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following construction program change order.
What is this?
What it is at the end of the contract, they evaluate everything, and they talk about the allowance when they set up the contract. And so at the very end, there was $4,591 left, so it's deducted from the contract amount.
So we're getting $4,591 back?
We're not paying them. We're paying them $4,500 less.
Less.
Okay. Less.
Yeah.
Less.
We're paying them less.
Right.
Because what? What's changed? What are they not doing?
Because the allowance that was built in, say...
they didn't use the total $36,000 allowance.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So here are the things that they used to equal $36,000. Supply new light window at the vestibule. New borrowed light window at the security vestibule. Additional asbestos abatement. So basically, there was $32,000 of additional stuff, not $36,000, so you get $4,000.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Sure. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves recommendations of the Committee on Special Education for the months of October and November for the 2017-2018 school year.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. One of the items that we voted to approve was doctorate increment, so I want to congratulate Dr. Reggio on her achievement of a very, very significant milestone. Congratulations. So we talked about security measures. I don't think I have anything more to say other than we're going to be discussing that exec. Questions, comments from the community on items not on tonight's agenda? Any questions, comments on items not on tonight's agenda? Great. Next Board of Education meeting will be here December 13th at 7:30. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing. Matters which would imperil the public safety if disclosed. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.